Hi, this is James Mercer from The Shins.
This is Shirley Manson.
This is Lo Tullist, co-founder of The Cure.
This is Huey Lewis giving you the story behind the song.
The Story Behind the Song is back with an exciting second season. We peel back the layers on music's most iconic hits with legendary artists like The Killers, Heart, The B-52s, Violent Femmes, Jewel, Huey Lewis, Modern English, and more. To keep the music flowing, we'll be sprinkling in classic episodes from our archives between each new one. So check out The Story Behind the Song wherever you get your podcast.
It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.
Hold on one second, guys. Sorry. I'm awful with technology.
Consequence Podcast Network.
Welcome to another edition of Kyle Meredith With. It's the interview series presented by WFPK at WFPK.org, Consequence, and the Consequence Podcast Network. Thank you so much, as always, for making your way here, checking out the series and the episode. Please do hit that subscribe button, for I put out three new interviews every single week, a new one every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. So it's a great way to keep up with all of your favorite artists, discover some new ones, know what's happening in the music world. You can do so at iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Acast, Podchaser, NPR, YouTube for the video versions, or anywhere you get your podcast from. I'm Kyle Meredith. Today I'm once again talking with Jaden. He's back. He's actually here with a full-length debut album, Tell Me About Tomorrow. We're going to be talking about how he found inspiration in Silverstein and Lil Uzi Vert, writing about his own struggles and the balancing of angels and demons. Now, he's also sort of the protege, I guess you would say, of like Travis Barker and Machine Gun Kelly. So we're going to discuss sampling Blink-182 on here, being championed by pop punk legends, and the new songs that are set to be included in an upcoming deluxe edition of the album that I think he's going to be premiering on tour. So let's do this. Talking about Tell Me About Tomorrow, it's Kyle Meredith with Jaden.
Hello, my man. Thank you so much. I appreciate it, dude. It's been, like I said before this started, I haven't seen you in a while. A lot has happened since then. So thank you for having me.
Yeah, the last time we talked, I mean, everything was just getting started. You know, you'd had your first few singles out. You had just signed the deal. But, you know, with the label, and I know you were working on the record, and you've been on such a hot streak, it seems, since then. I mean, even recently, congratulations on the VMA nominations, even the collaborations you're doing with Lottie Dyer becoming hits. I mean, this seems like a pretty frantic time. I don't know. How's it feel?
It's been really crazy, man. Like, it's really hard to put into words. I talk to people all the time about it, trying to come up with you know, different ways to express how I feel. But it's really leaves me speechless. Like, I never thought I would be here. But at the same time, you know, I've worked so hard and I've put a lot of dedication in that. It just kind of encourages me, you know, it just shows that hard work pays off. Also that there's a bigger purpose out there for people. So it's a bunch of different things. Like you said, blessed to make really good music with really good people. I still think this is just the beginning, you know, like it's obviously further than the very beginning, but it's still just the first step in a really long journey. So I'm excited.
That journey, and as I was saying, you know, when we were speaking last time, and knowing that these were, you know, the first songs, basically, and now to have this collection that's making up this album, Tell Me About Tomorrow, can you hear the journey within those songs?
Absolutely. Even like in the timeline that I created those songs, a lot of them were like earlier in the year, as opposed to when I finished the album. Like I made probably like four or five songs in the last like two months that we were making music for the album. And it was just crazy to see how, you know, every time I make a song, I'm trying to learn and make the next one better. And so I feel like I did that, and the album really worked together. And but it wouldn't have been possible without Travis. Like, seriously, like, there's a lot of things I wanted to put on the album and wanted to put out, but he, you know, just showed me a lot of wisdom and how to be careful with what you're doing and how to give it your best. And with all of that, we created, I think, the best first album I could have ever come out with, and the response shows that. So it's dope. It's just like the coolest thing.
One thing I've been, there's several things I've been impressed with, and I will compliment you on each of those individually, but finding your scream, like how fast your voice changed from those early songs to just a year later, you know, to what we're hearing. Like, I don't know, but does that come natural to you? Because a scream isn't natural for everybody.
You know, this is one thing that I learned really good. I've played 3 shows now, right? I've had really, really cool opportunities. The last one I played was Lollapalooza, which was absolutely insane. What people don't understand is like recording in a studio is super different from like singing in real life performing, you know, because you get to do it over and over and over again. And these songs, like before I ever really knew how to do anything, I would just try stuff because I always loved challenging myself. But then there came a time where I have the best vocal coach in the entire world. Her name's Valerie Morehouse. And she actually teaches me the correct way to sing, which is like, I didn't know that was like a thing. I was super like ignorant to all the things that are needed to, you know, be known to be like one of the greatest. And I was like walking around like, oh, I'm going to be like such a great singer. Little did I know how like far away I was from that. So I meet with her all the time and she literally teaches people like how to scream and stuff like that. Funny enough, I haven't talked to her about it yet. And I just kind of went for it in my songs, you know, because it's like, I just decided like, I know what I think would like, if I heard it, I'd be like, oh, that's fantastic. And there's something about just like screaming that carries a lot of obviously volume, but it carries a lot of impact on people, you know, and especially putting it in places that people wouldn't expect. So that it's like a big part of my music, actually. Like people don't even know. I'm so like glad that you brought that up because there's like a band called Silverstein. That's like a really melodic, I'd say beautiful, like pop punk band that incorporates like screaming and like, it's so sick. And I ever since I started listening to them, me and my roommate, we just became obsessed with it. And I had to put it in my own music. There's like even a moment in my next deluxe album where I do some stuff like that. So it's cool.
I think I've only talked about screaming in an interview specifically with one other artist, and it's a dude from Silverstein. I'm not even kidding on that.
Oh, wow. What the fuck? That's crazy.
That is crazy.
Yeah.
But and for the compliments, I mean, you know, what, like, you did that cover of Driver's License and your voice went somewhere I didn't even know that you were capable of going. And No Vanity, I mean, I wrote that one down. Just like your performance, it's really noticeable. It really is what you're doing on there. So compliments on that.
I appreciate that, dude. Yeah, I appreciate when people appreciate like my voice and how I showcase it in different ways, because I grew up singing, you know, like Justin Bieber was one of the biggest reasons I started singing when I was like a kid. So to get some compliments on that is a really great feeling. I appreciate that.
You know, as we talk about the screaming, it kind of leads into, you know, as I'm listening to the record, what you're singing about, it does seem like there's a lot of struggle, the struggle within, you know, that's happening within these songs, exercising. I don't know. Maybe it's not one or the other. But do you see this as an album where you're exercising your demons? No pun intended. I know the song's there. Or is it about lending a hand to someone else?
I think that could be both. I think a tattoo recently that I got way before I ever made an album that really stuck out to me is this one. It says, Randa Angels Chased by Demons. And I was thinking, like, that's such a perfect way to describe this album. Is that's what I'm like kind of trying to represent. It's like I wanted the right path. I wanted all this. I wanted to be on the angel side, but you know, I ended up falling a lot of times to the demons, and because that's what happens. And it's like people always talk about the bad shit that happens, not really like why it happens. Like, is it happening because something good is like greater is happening, you know? And that's kind of what I wanted to give people hope that, like, although I was falling and all these situations that so many different people can find themselves in, I was still like going towards, you know, the angels. Like there's hope at the end, and that's really kind of what I'd say in a very general sense, anybody can take from this album. So 100%.
You mentioned that Angel's Demon, it gets the sequel here.
Yeah, it does.
So what's the story of that? How do they work together, the songs?
I want you to know that, okay, this is like, I just decided like a long time ago, you know, I'm going to be super honest on everything. So I'm like an open book, right? About everything. This is the exact reason. I love Lil Uzi Vert. Okay. That man is goated in so many different ways. He's one of the funniest people that I've like ever seen. And I got to play like a video game with him, like on this like streaming thing for Red Bull. It was really cool. It was mad funny. But he has like a bunch of songs, even albums that are like part two, you know? And I was like, that is so cool, because the first song was so good that you have to make a second one. Like, that's the whole like thing, you know? So I looked at my biggest song, which for a while I didn't even like really appreciate it for what it was. Like, I knew I had made really good music, but when you first start and it was also new to me, I just wanted to keep making more, you know? But looking back, it's probably my favorite song I've ever made. Getting to perform it live is like crazy. It seals the deal for like my whole set. So I looked at it and I was like, yo, we got to make another one. But we got to make it better, because I actually did get arrested after I made that song, you know, which is so ironic. But not, I mean, it was all part of the plan of like God's plan, you know, like I had to learn a lesson there. But so I was like, I'm going to display this like, oh, I was. It's like, because it talks about like fuck me like a rock star, that type of stuff. You know, like, I'm a rock star. That's what I'm claiming. So I'm like displaying to people, oh, I'm so sad. Like, whatever. Just hang me on a wall, take a look and tear me down, because that's all you want. And that's how I felt about society. Like, people just want to look at you, and then when they're done with you, throw them away. But then boom, bring it back for the part two. Still a rock star. Is, if you can't tell us, it gets me a little excited. Like, I love. It's probably like my favorite, one of my favorite songs in the album is Angels and Demons Part Two, just because it's like, one, it's kind of a surprise if you've never heard about it and you had no idea what was going to happen. Super cool. And then two, it's just always awesome to make something else on top of like, you know, like the first little baby I had, Angels and Demons, and getting to like build on top of that. It's awesome.
Now, you know, you wait for a little amount of time, however long, years or whatever, and part three wraps up the story.
Absolutely. We'll just add one every year.
The continuation.
Yeah.
Also, you know, the sort of the meta moments in here, you got a song DTA. I'm sure that is named after the label. I mean, naming the song.
Yeah, absolutely. It's 100% after the label. Like, you know, being the only person signed to Trav's label. He's had a lot of people come in that, you know, he's talked about signing. I think, you know, there's going to be a lot of cool opportunities in the future for there. But for now, you know, it's just me and Trav. So, like, getting to talk about what that means and putting it in a song was cool. Really, the song was just fun, because it's like everybody has, like, an ex, you know. And obviously, it's like a breakup song. So, you know, people like to relate to that type of stuff. Even though everyone wants love, and I have love, and Travis has love, it's like, just saying like love is dead and don't trust anyone, because everyone wants to have that, you know, that side of them that they're able to go to and like feel good about shitting on stuff, you know what I mean?
it makes it fun, you know, as a fan kind of finding those moments in there, though, you know, just knowing, you know, the backstory of everything. And I know that Travis, you know, he obviously plays such a huge part in your life as the producer and the songs too. I mean, you've got it's been talked about, A Wasted Year, you know. I think it's, yeah. Is it an actual sample, or is it just leaning into the Blink-182 sounds?
So it's like we that there was a whole process with it. We were going to do a different Blink song, and then it didn't get cleared, and we went with Feeling This. And it just, yeah, we more just leaned into it a bunch, because it's like we have Travis there. So it's like the funniest part is when people comment like, this is literally a Blink-182 song. And I'm like, what? Travis, did you know that this shit was Blink? No, but that's one of my favorite songs, because it's cool being able to get some notoriety, you know, from legends, you know, saying, knowing that they all approved and like signed off on it is so cool, because that means I'm really bringing this sound back to the ears of like people my age. Again, which is like a blessing, you know, like they did that for literally years and years. And so getting to do my part is really cool.
That's what, I mean, you've got members of The Used, right? Also co-writing on here. And it seems like there's a community, a punk community, you know, of of the previous generation, or however you want to say that, that's rallying around you as the future. I mean, does it feel like that at all to you?
It does. I mean, personally, like, it does. Like, I haven't met anyone that's, I mean, you don't know what people think all the time, but everyone that's met me has been super, super supportive. And people have come up to me saying, like, oh, they're talking about you. Like, this, hearing all that stuff is super humbling, honestly, because it's like, usually it's competition when somebody new comes into a space and they're not given like credit or respect. And people have just respected me so much to the point where I feel like I don't even deserve it, you know? And so I'm just super blessed getting to look at what the coolest thing that's ever happened. I'll say this right now because I say it in a lot of interviews, but like the biggest thing I learned from Travis is a lot of things, but he looks at me one day and I was like, Travis, we're making punk cool again. And he looks at me and he goes, don't get it twisted. Punk has always been cool. Like, everyone's just realizing it again now. And I was like, dude, you're so right. And so getting to be a part of the wave that, like, it takes the stress off my shoulders because I know what all of these people have laid down, you know, like all these bands, like just creating the way, creating the path. And that's what Kels did for me as well with this last album, is created like a path for me to come in and get people excited, which is all I can do really. And give people hope. So I'm excited as well.
Yeah. And the nod there, of course, yeah, Machine Gun Kelly. And that's what I'm saying. Like, for everything to be happening, what seems like at such a bullet pace, and to have these folks, I mean, it sounds like you're getting good advice. Like, is that really being distilled towards you? Because we know those stories, you know, it eats people up, success like this, but I don't get that sense from you.
I appreciate that. Yeah, success is determined. It's relative, you know, it's determined by the person who has it. And I find success in relationships personally. I obviously, it's impossible to keep every relationship you have. Things happen in life. But like, you know, if I have a solid relationship with someone, I think that's much more valuable than like money or like success, because, or worldly success, because, you know, that's the only way I've gotten here. Is by people seeing me and believing in me because of the relationship I had with them, not because I had money, because I definitely didn't have that. And like, yes, I had followers, but I only had followers again because of the people I met, and they encouraged me to like do stuff like that. So I'm honestly just blessed. Like, I couldn't ask for anything greater. I've learned so much in this past year. You have no idea. It's been like, I've learned more in this past year, 2 years, than I have the rest of my entire life. So at first it was kind of scary, but now it's super exciting because now I get to use these lessons and apply it to my life and go on and continue to make an impact on people.
Well, I know you got the shows on the way, 3 shows under your belt. One of those, a Lollapalooza stage, is your second show ever to be put on one of the biggest stages in the world and come out of that shining. And you've got the Machine Gun Kelly dates on the way and your own headlining dates. What's this tour going to look like? Because you got your album and your songs. Are you going to be bringing out the covers as well?
Oh, dude. So my deluxe isn't out yet. So the people who are going to the first like week or two of the shows, I'm putting 2 songs for my deluxe in the set. So that's going to be really, really fun. I'd say, I mean, they're better than anything I've made so far. And like, I can say that because I'm going to make the music. And that's like what I go for every time. And with these, they're like really, really fun. Super, super crowd pumpers. I don't even know if that's a word, but like they're going to get the crowd excited. And I'm just blessed, man. Like, the people who are on this tour are really here for like the right reasons. MGK, I think, picked a perfect lineup. Me getting to be direct support is like the craziest thing. I just have to say thank you for, I'll thank him for the rest of my life because it's the greatest opportunity. But I'm going to fill up the shoes that are in front of me, you know, like I'm not about to walk in here, like whatever, like I really love music and I really love putting on a show for people. And I really love, my fans, you know? And so all of that combined, it's going to change people's lives, man. I swear on everything. Like, I can't express enough how much I want every single person to be at these concerts because they're going to be crazy. I'm going to get everybody I can in, like, seriously, I don't care. Like, it's going to be crazy. I'm excited to be there and I'm performing, you know, so I'm pumped.
All the right reasons right there, man. All the right. I think maybe if I remember right, you might be coming through Louisville too. So
yeah,
wherever, if I got to drive, I'll drive, you know, if it's
Dude,
not here. So
please.
One way or the other.
We're going like MGK really is dedicated to this shit, man. No one else is doing a tour like this. It takes a lot of grit. It's 36 stops in 50 days. You know, that's like, that's a heavy tour. And we're going all across the United States, like sometimes twice. So, we're going to do everything. Everybody's going to have a chance. So I think people should take it if they can, because it's literally, it's going to be crazy. I can't explain. We leave in 6 days. Let's go. 6 days.
Well, awesome, man. I will see you out there at one of those shows, at least maybe a few too. Jaden, congratulations. Tell me about Thank tomorrow. You. This is such a great debut album, such a great album and all. And, you know, congrats on every, all the success that's came to you.
I appreciate you, man. You have a good one, bro.
All right. We will see you around.
Thank you, Kyle. Have a good one, bro.
So you want to be a rock and roll star? No? Well, how about a podcast star? Well, as it turns out, there's a new all-in-one platform just for you. It's called Anchor, and it's the easiest way to make a podcast. And check this out. It's free. There's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. And then Anchor will distribute the podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify and Apple Podcast and, you know, everywhere else in podcast land. And what's even better, you can actually make money from your podcast. Go figure. No minimum listenership on that. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. So go ahead. Download the free Anchor app right now or go to anchor.fm to get started. So what are you waiting for? Podcast stardom is within your reach.
Of course, it was only last year that Jaden and I last caught up. The first time we spoke actually to talk about his, at that point, seemingly overnight success of his music career after making a name for himself on TikTok over the last couple years. So I want to include that interview here as well, part two of Kyle Meredith with Jaden.
Yo, what's up, Kyle? How's it going, man?
It's been exciting to watch what's going on here with you. And you know, I was thinking most of the time when you use the word overnight success, you know, the artist will tell you, it's like, well, I've been working at it for, you know, a good 10 years, and this is when people first started seeing me. But I don't know if that's actually the case with you. You know, your first single isn't very old. You know, it's less than a year old, and we're looking at 27 million, you know, just Spotify alone spins. It's not even counting YouTube. Has it felt like overnight in this instance for your musical part of your career?
You know, that's actually a really good question. I don't think anyone's asked me that yet. But, you know, out here in this kind of society, this world, especially in the music industry, along with social media, you know, a year in LA feels like 10 years to me, man. I feel like I've gone through 10 years of my own life, you know, through different types of pain, different types of success. But, you know, looking at my music, it feels like it just happened yesterday. So I would feel like it's been overnight, you know, and it's been a hard overnight, like definitely impactful overnight with a lot of stuff that we've done. But definitely when I look back at it, you know, it's within a blink of an eye. You know, I bet that happens for a lot of people. But for me specifically, I definitely resonate with that for sure.
And going from, you know, what you were doing prior, especially on TikTok online and everything, when did it become clear that you wanted to make your own art in this way?
So it was after I just went on this social media tour, you know, MagCon-esque of July of last year in 2019, that we were in Dallas, and I'm a big Juice WRLD fan. I was prior to this, and I noticed that he had a concert that night in Dallas. And so I told all my boys, I was like, guys, we got to go. So we bought tickets online a couple hours before the show, showed up, and we were moshing inside the, like, you know, the little VIP area or whatever, and to Juice WRLD's song Empty. And the line that was saying, I'm empty, I feel so goddamn empty. And for some reason, a big reason, but whatever it was, I'm so grateful for, I just had like the biggest revelation and epiphany I've ever had in my life. You know, I really didn't know what I wanted to do with myself. I'd been lost personally, you know, with my purpose and with kind of my self-acclimations prior to this moment. And everything just came together in that moment. I saw thousands of kids not just singing this line, but really feeling it. You know what I mean? They were crying out just as the same as Juice WRLD was when he wrote the song. And so I was like, I've been there too. And Juice has been there, and thousands of these kids have been there. And that's something that brings us all together. You know, it doesn't matter who you are, what you are, where you come from. This one line in a song brought thousands of different people of different races, you know, different beliefs, different sexualities all together in one moment. And that was so beautiful to me because division was just like a big part of how I grew up. You know, no one ever worked together. Everyone just seemed to hate each other. And I, you know, felt like I was a part of that for a long time. So at this moment, I felt like, wow, dude, like I really found out my destiny because this is what's going to bring the world together. You know what I mean? This is how powerful music can be. And that's kind of like a long explanation. But right after that happened, I went back to L.A. and I started talking to as many people as I could to try to get me in the studio just to try. You know, I told myself, you know, I don't know if it's going to work for me, but I at least have to try because it was so beautiful in that moment to see how powerful his music was to everyone and especially myself.
That's really interesting. And again, you know, for a lot of artists, they get anonymity for a much longer time before we get to hear like their first bits of music. I mean, what has that been like for you? I mean, how long were you actually spending learning how to write a song, or did that come really natural?
To be quite honest with you, you know, I try to learn every time I go in the studio. I try to learn every time I get an opportunity to, but it really has just come pretty naturally for me. And I think that's why I'm so adamant, or was so adamant, about this sort of career, is because I never want to put myself anywhere that I don't really fit or don't think it's going to, you know, work out naturally. So I put all my efforts into music because I noticed that everything just started falling into place, kind of like a puzzle. And when I first wrote Comatose, it was my first rock song I ever wrote. And it took like 6 months to release because we had some issues with like, you know, law contracts and things like that with producers. But, you know, everything settled out. And then after we released that, I knew if I could just release one song, like that was like my big thing. Like if I could just release one song, then after that, I feel like everything will fall into place. Either it'll work or it won't. And I'll realize that. So we released it. And the day after we released it, Travis Barker calls up my team. And I kind of like started everything, you know, meeting with labels and meeting with everyone in New York and California. And then I finally met with him in person. And I realized, okay, this is a guy I definitely need to be with. And so it just started like the snowball effect of honestly success. And I owe it to everyone around me. I owe it to my team and especially Travis for having faith and seeing what was in the future, not just was like what was right in front of us. So,
and you, I mean, you're Travis's first signee on this label too, right? Like you're product number one.
Yeah, dude, isn't that crazy? Like imagine how I feel, honestly, having like this legend that is, it took me underneath his wing, essentially, you know, and he works with so many amazing people already. Like he had such an opportunity to sign and work with so many others, and he didn't, and he decided to, you know, pick me as his first signing. Like that, just I think about it every day, dude, and I'm like, ah, like what, like how is this possible, you know what I mean?
Now the obvious question that I'm sure you have been asked, were you a Blink fan prior to this?
Dude, that's such a funny question. So I grew up like listening to like classic rock type of stuff with my dad. But I grew up in the South, you know, and everyone out there, once you get to middle school and high school, is like, listen to trap music. That's it. And so I didn't really get to branch off into that. But as soon as I moved out to L.A., I started talking to this girl named Mads Lewis, who we started dating a while back. And she's a huge Blink fan. So, yeah, I like, it's really funny. The timing of everything just like fit in perfectly. And I became like a huge Blink fan. Also like Green Day, Five Finger Death Punch. But, and we always talked about Travis Barker because her and her dad just like loved him. And so the fact that, you know, I ended up working with him is crazy. And actually on Comatose, before I even like met Travis, before any of that happened, me and my producers used Travis's drum kit on Splice.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And so we didn't even like, obviously I had no idea any of this was going to happen. And then Travis didn't even know that it was his own drum kit. Like whenever he listened to the song, and we were like, yo, this is you. He was like, what? That's crazy. Yeah. So everything honestly just fit together, dude. It was like the perfect story. It was crazy.
Kismet. Definitely. Yeah. And here he is playing. I mean, now not only do you have his drum set, you've actually got him on the drums on some of these songs. And, you know, I've just heard the new single with So What. And it's not saying that it had to sound anything like that, but I feel like I can hear some of that influence of that era and that genre on this track more than, you know, the other couple songs so far. With it being the new single, what's the story with this one?
So, you know, with So What, it's kind of funny because, you know, when you hear So What, people usually put a question mark at the end of it. Like, so what? But this is more like, so what with an exclamation point. And this has really just been my attitude because, you know, there's a lot of trials and tribulations, quote unquote, that come in people's lives, especially mine, you know, things come daily. But I obviously this is more kind of like a love song, you know, we're meeting that aspect, but it applies to everything. And everything that I write, dude, is really like a moment in time of my life. I don't sit down and write songs. Like, I go into the studio, I hear a track, and then I freestyle for like a certain amount of time, and then we cut it up and see what we like best. And I do that with the purpose, one, with Juice Inspirations, you know, because he's literally like my idol. And then two, because I just love being real. Like, I really try to harp and focus on being an authentic version of myself, an authentic representation of who I want to be. And I feel like that's the best way to get it out of me in a melodic flow. And so with So What, we were just in the studio, me, Fim, John Feldy, and Travis, and he turned on like this guitar riff and just started like singing in that like punk rock hit, and like that punk rock vibe just like hit me. And so I just started freestyling, talking about like, so what, I'm broken, like, and my heart's frozen, you know, like all these things that are supposed to be bad that would prevent me from doing, you know, what I want to do. I'm saying like, so what, like, I'm gonna do it anyway. You know what I mean? I'm going to get over my fears, get over my pain, and go and rock out. And in the music video, the storyline tells exactly that. Mooch did a fantastic job directing. You know, me and him, he's my bro, like, he's my homie. This has probably been my favorite project so far. I mean, I bet artists say that all the time for each new song, but genuinely, this has been my favorite project.
Freestyling as stream of consciousness style right there, too. It really does put each song in the most present version of the moment. And I mean, compared to, like, you know, if a lot of bands would write an album and then it would take, you know, 6 months to a year to put out. And so what you're hearing is, you know, a version of themselves from a year ago. But like yeah. Angels and Demons, I would have to wonder in that respect, was that sort of a reaction to your fame that you had gotten to that point?
Yeah. Okay. So Angels and Demons is probably the most song I have, really. You know, Comatose is about my first girlfriend. So What is about kind of a relationship I had in the past couple months, but also with the view of just life in general. But Angels and Demons is genuinely about the battle between my mind. You know, a lot of people hear fuck me like a rock star and they think it's about sex. Like, I'm not talking about sex. Like, that's not who I am. I don't write music about money or cars or anything like that. That's just not it. I'm talking about, you know, the highest point in my life, which I see myself as dancing on a cop car. Like, I'm on top of the world. Like, everyone's looking up at me like, oh, it's so amazing. Like, fuck me like a rock star. Like, that's the type of the reaction. And then the lowest point of my life, which is in the same chorus, which is fucked up like a rock star, like riding in a cop car, and no one can help me out. And so it's just this battle that I've had for a long time in my mind of who I am and who I want to be, and the actions I was making and the actions I wanted to make. And it kind of took me back to really like high school, right after high school, when I was in a really deep depression. And I was just doing a lot of stupid shit for no reason, which ended up hurting myself more. And then where I wanted to be, which ultimately is kind of where I'm at right now, where I get to make music, you know, take care of the people I love and myself, and also tell everyone who hears that music, who sees me on my platform, that they're loved and they're cared for, and that although they may not see the end of the rainbow right now, it's still definitely there and it's not going away. As long as you'll keep after it and understand where you come from, you'll always get to that point. You know what I mean? And that's why I was really grateful that I got to have the Genius interview as well for Angels and Demons, because it kind of really explained that in depth. And, you know, not everyone watches every interview, but that was really important to me, because I don't want anyone to think that I'm out here for, like, money or fame. Like, I'm not at all. Like, the sole reason I'm in music is because of that Juice WRLD concert. And I saw the impact that music has on people. And I saw the impact that the music had on me. And I wanted to do that for one person or millions of people. You know what I mean? Like, it doesn't matter the number. I just wanted to do it because I just care about people so much. Like, I really do.
I'll kind of trivially ask about, you know, with a title like Angels and Demons, did I read that, like, your parents or one of your parents was a pastor?
Yes. Both my parents were pastors growing up in my childhood. And now my dad raises money for, you know, different nonprofit organizations. My mom does a lot of different things in that manner. It's been really crazy because growing up in the South, everyone's pretty judgmental with that aspect. You know, it's either you believe this or you get casted out. You know, you're an outcast. And I was, not that I ever, like, I still believe, like, genuinely, I'll tell you that openly. Like, I do. I love what I believe, but it's not in the judgmental sense at all. Like, I think everyone is entitled to their own beliefs. You know, when I grew up, I didn't think that. And now I believe that, you know, love is what leads people to change, not judgment. Like, that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. Like, for anyone to cast anyone out for any sort of reason is absolutely stupid and absolutely the opposite of what I believe. And so it's been really fun and kind of beautiful because my parents were the most supportive people in my life, like absolutely the best people I've ever met. Genuinely would do anything for them. And they've been the most accepting coming out here because it is a very different world, you know? Like, I remember at my high school, like, my principal, I just got my ears pierced, and he told me I wasn't going to be able to graduate if I had my ears pierced. And I was in line with my cap and gown on, and I just got them done the day before because I just got back from L.A. Almost tried to suspend me because I got my nails painted. Like, all that type of style of stuff, you know what I mean? And so coming out to L.A., got my ears pierced, you know, started getting a lot of tattoos, started, like, dyeing my hair a bunch of different colors. My parents were just with me the whole time, dude, and they've just shown so much love, and that's the love I'm trying to show to everyone in the world, because that's the love that, you know, ultimately gets people where they need to be. Like, that's how people should act, and my parents are a great representation of that.
That's a beautiful sentiment and a very important sentiment, especially these days. I mean, forever and always, but it seems like people do need to hear that. I appreciate where you're coming from on
Absolutely.
That.
Absolutely.
Yeah. You know, you've also done some acoustic versions of this. Is that a different experience for you? Do you have to approach, you know, a song differently when you're taking it in that direction?
Yeah, I mean, it's funny because it's like with Angels and Demons, it was such like a heavy chorus song. Bringing it down was kind of just different. But Travis is so good at just music in general that he's really good at just telling me, here, do this, do this, do this. This is what you need to change. And I mean, I grew up in like choir. Like, I did choir growing up. I was in Mary Poppins my junior year. I was Bert in Mary Poppins. I was Prince Charming and Cinderella. So I have kind of this like singing background. My dad majored in hymnals in college and music theory. And so I have that like singing background. So that's kind of cool to lean on sometimes. Like, I love guitar in general. That's kind of why I really stuck with rock music. So being able to do that acoustically, it shows just a different side of everything, you know what I mean? And there's a lot of emotion in acoustic music, which is really cool. So it's different for sure, but it also allows me to showcase my different talents. And that's what I really want to do for people as well, is kind of show that I'm not just screaming, you know what I mean? Like, I'm not just like going out here trying to hit the highest note or whatever. Like, I enjoy all of the processes that come along with it.
Well, it's been fun to listen to. Again, I'm so impressed with what you're doing. I mean, you're already, it feels like, you know, hitting new levels with each track. So congratulations on this, Jaden. And thanks so much for taking the time to talk about it, too.
No, absolutely, dude. Thank you so much. You know, like, the real questions are the ones I love to answer, and you've definitely done that for me. So I appreciate that. And yes, we're very excited about So What. It's literally the craziest thing in the world, dude. Mooch killed it, 100%. So.
Right on, man. Well, take care, and we'll see you around.
All right, perfect. Thank you so much. Have a great day, dude.
You too. Bye.
All right, bye.
And again, my thanks to Jaden. The debut full-length album is called Tell Me About Tomorrow. Thanks to you for, again, listening, checking out the episode in this series. I do hope you hit that subscribe button before you get out of here for new interviews every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at iTunes and Apple Podcasts, at Spotify, Acast, Podchaser, NPR, YouTube for the video versions, or anywhere you get your podcasts from. Just subscribe to Kyle Meredith With. After that, head over to WFPK.org, where I do a show Monday through Friday, 6 p.m. Eastern. It's an hour full of song premieres, music news, anniversary spins, bonus interviews, Monday through Friday, 6 p.m. Eastern at WFPK.org. Consequence has your music and film news. You can also find me on the social media spots, including Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter, all three of them at Kyle Meredith. I do hope you like and follow along. That does it for another edition of Kyle Meredith. I'll see you next time.
Consequence Podcast Network.
No, that's perfect.
It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.